Let us open the Word of God to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4. I'm going to read starting with verse 12 through 17. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 12 through 17. Now when he heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. And lived Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Amen. You may take your seats. How wonderful it is to be in the presence of the Lord. How wonderful it is to be in this, surrounded by these beautiful songs and giving thanks to Jesus, to God, because he is worthy to receive all the praise. Tonight, I wanted to speak from this passage the Lord put on my heart, and is a message that I've entitled A Call to Repentance, o chiamare la pocainza. And this whole week I was thinking about what to preach and what to talk about. And I've been so convicted of looking at my life and looking at this passage. And I was just overwhelmed with what we so many times understand what repentance is all about and how we see it. And looking at this passage and looking at Jesus, I was trying to picture and see through the eyes of the 12 what repentance really meant, how they saw it. And tonight I want to just speak a little bit about what repentance is. And I'm not going to preach to you tonight, I'm going to preach to me, and I want to preach whatever the Lord put on my heart, because every single day I feel that I need to repent, because there might be areas in my life that are not exactly the way God wants them to be. And the way so many times God wants to bring a message to my ears and bring a message to my heart is so many times it's probably not the way that God intended for me to hear it or see it. And tonight I'm here to talk to you about what repentance is and how Jesus wanted to portray it, to bring it before the people. And I could ask the question, what is repentance? And we can all ask, and we can all have answers to these questions. We can all give definitions of what repentance is. The other thing what I want to ask is, and I wanted to look at, is what repentance is not. Repentance is not an emotion. The reason why people don't have a permanent conversion is because they acted on their emotions, and that will soon run out and leave them dry and empty, because there was not a real repentance. It was just an emotion, something that they felt. The Greek word in secular language always translates as change of mind, your thinking. Metanoia, which we are so familiar with this word, change of mind. It's a decision, not an emotion, a change of will. The Hebrew term teshuvah, it means return, turn back. And looking at this, I realized that repentance is one of the stones that lays the basis of the foundation of my doctrine, the doctrine of, you know, the Word of God and what it means, foundational principles. Your building will not stand without that, without it, without repentance. One issue that exists today, even the Christian community, is that there have never really repented, changed their mind, never made the decision, never surrendered their heart, never surrendered to the lordship of Jesus Christ. We have the mentality that if I repent, what is it going to do for me? What is that in for me? Is that going to please God if I repent? We have this mentality. I hear this from a lot of people. I hear this from people that I speak with. What is in it for me if I repent, if I come to God, if I give up on all of those things? And they have the wrong approach to it. Today I will please Jesus, tomorrow I will please myself, the attitude of a lot of people. I will be one person in church, different when I am out of here. Nobody will know about me, how I live and what do I do. Repentance towards God is not only an ingredient in salvation or saved from the wrath of God. And tonight I wanted to look at how the 12 disciples, when they heard repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, how they saw it. It meant a lot more than that. They heard it right and they heard the following. Give full allegiance to him. My whole life is governed by him. He is all in all. My whole being belongs to him. When they heard that word repent because the kingdom of heaven is at hand, they said, my whole being belongs to him. When John the Baptist preached his message that was make his path straight. When you hear it straight, when you hear about a message that's talking about go this way and don't turn to the left or to the right, you get it right. And you want to follow that. They did not turn. Have my own corners, have my own loopholes. They heard, turn to God and give full allegiance to him. They did not hear repent and salvation as so many people, as so many times people preach. And it's nothing wrong with that expression because that's the truth. They heard this, make him king, make him Lord, submit to him and his kingship. Now that's a different approach when you look at Jesus like that, when you hear repent, because the kingdom of God is at hand. Nothing less that I want to give him other than I want to make him king. I want to make him Lord of my life. And everything that I am, I submit to him. Because that's a different approach than understanding what repentance sometimes is being taught or said or described by so many people. See, when they heard it, they knew, they understood that he is everything and I got to leave everything for him and I got to give it all to him. That's what true repentance is. My life is governed by him, not me. That's what they understood. I paid for you. In other words, Jesus would tell them to use you for my way works. I didn't die for you so you can do whatever you want with your life. I died for you so you can live only for me in exactly what I've intended for you to live, your life. And this is what I want to talk about tonight. I died for you to be into my kingdom. Things get done different here. Our approach must be different. Our attitude must be different. The way I look at repentance got to be different. Everything that I am, he has got to be at the center of it all. He's got to be the focal point. I got to give it all to him. He deserves it all. They heard it right. They heard it the right way. How do we hear it? How does God intend it to be heard when we hear the word repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand? See, the message was clear to them. The message was straightforward. Jesus gave an illustration of the prodigal son, and we know this very well, this story. The Hebrew term here is tshuva, again, return, turn back, is being used there. The son has spent all his inheritance. He lived his life as he pleased. He did everything as he wanted to. He spent everything, was left with nothing, hungry and broken. He came back to his senses. It was not emotion. It was decision of the will, a change of mind that brought him back. Once he asked in rudeness, disrespect, disobedience to leave the home. Now broken, humble, without any expectations, willing to be a servant. I have sinned. I am not worthy. If anything, make me a servant. I have no expectations of my own. See, this is what repentance is all about. When I have no expectations of my own, I want to please him with everything that I am. When we understand the level of our evil and brokenness, we understand the level of our wrongdoing against God, we now can fully surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. When we understand how broken we are, when we understand how many shortcomings we have, when we understand how imperfect we are and how many times every single day we make mistakes, all we can say, Lord, I want to submit to you. I no longer want to please myself, but I want to please you. This is the perfect picture of repentance, prodigal son. Not wanting, not expecting anything in return. He just wanted to be a servant. All I want is to be in your presence. Tonight, I want to talk about three things. That this call to repentance brings us, a call to a message of repentance, the first point that I want to talk about. In Matthew 4:12, we look at a man, John the Baptist, who was put in prison due to telling the truth. You're going to have to pay a price for telling the truth. Many times, a lot of people are afraid to tell the truth because there will be consequences. There will be things that we have to pay for because we are going to open our mouth and we're going to tell the truth. John understood his calling on preparing and preaching the way, a gospel of repentance, making the path straight. And he had to stand for the truth because he was the one to proclaim the truth. I'm here to call the path straight because the one that's coming is greater than I. The word of God says that from that time when John was put in prison, Jesus started his earthly ministry preaching the same message of repentance. Not a different message, the same message of repentance. This also tells me that when one can't preach repentance anymore, and one stops preaching repentance anymore, because John was put in prison, he couldn't preach repentance anymore out in the crowds. Another starts preaching it. If I stop preaching repentance, you do it. We all do it. We have the responsibility to preach repentance. Because we have so much to fix in our lives, so much to get right with God, and so many things to correct. You and I are called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You and I are called to get out from this church tonight and go into the world and go to your workplace, go to school and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Preach the good news. You have the responsibility. The gospel without any apologies, it's the gospel of repentance. We have a mandate to preach the gospel, and that message, it's in its core, it's a message of repentance. Bring us back to God, to bring people back to God, to bring people back to repentance. Luke 5:32, the word of God says, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. We have a message. We have a message in love to tell people to come and repent because there's a day that's coming. And we ought to be ready for it. Today, repentance is not a popular topic. Not a lot of people, not a lot of pastors, not a lot of preachers preach on repentance. They preach on prosperity. They preach on other topics that pumps you up, that make you feel good. Messages that will just tickle your ears and just, you know, just be very pleasant to listen to. I go to that church because I hear very good messages, convenient messages for me, that ones that I really like. Don't tell me about my sin. Don't tell me about my lifestyle. Don't tell me the way I live. Because tell me something about God's love. It gets sinners mad and uncomfortable. It irritates the one that commits injustice. Angers the homosexual, lesbians, and transgender who think that love is love no matter how you practice it. The Bible that we hold in our hands is a gospel of salvation through repentance, and we have to preach it the way it is. It's the good news of salvation. It's the good news for something that's going to destroy you if not repent from. The salvation that any person can have is through Jesus Christ, is through repentance. The most terrifying truth that we can proclaim is this: God is good. Modern Christianity preachers does not tell you the truth. God is good, God is just, God is righteous. Men should be filled with terror when you hear this truth. Because Paul in Romans 2:3, through God's word, he says, "Or do you despise the riches of his goodness? Forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God," what does it do? Leads you to repentance. When we hear about the goodness of God, it's got to lead us to repentance, because it's going to bring out the bad in us, the evilness in us, and it's got to portray the goodness of God, which got to bring us to our knees and submit to God and say, "I'm a broken person. I need your goodness." The second terrifying truth that we can proclaim is the following: man is not good. Man is sinful. Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. Others can tell you that God is good and you can feel good about yourself. I want to tell you that God is good and you must be terrified because you're not good. This is the Bible. This is the truth. Now, will you be loved, appreciated? And when you preach this kind of gospel, when you preach a gospel of repentance, when you tell them that what they do is wrong, or what's in them is wrong, and the practices that they practice is wrong, no, they're not going to like it. The gospel that we must preach will anger many. Will soon be considered hate speech. Hate speech. People die today because of the truth of the scriptures. Many people in many countries are persecuted and they're put to death because they preach the gospel. They preach the truth. Preach repentance, preach the truth no matter what will cost you. Preach Christ and Him crucified. That's our mandate. That's our responsibility. That's what we got to do. In love, we show them the love of God, but we got to tell them what is wrong in their life. We got to preach repentance. Let's not preach a watered-down gospel. Let's not speak. Let's not send people to hell. Because I have a responsibility. I could either ignore you or tell you something that's probably going to hurt you today. It's going to hurt your feelings. But you know what? It's going to pull you to God. It's going to change your mind. It's going to change your attitude. And you're going to change and you're going to come to Christ. I'd rather hurt you today than just tell you that you're doing fine and go straight to hell. I'd rather tell you that you're wrong and tomorrow know that you're on the right path. True love is demonstrated to telling someone the truth. That's what love is all about. It's not my gospel, it's his. It costs him his life. Preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. It's our responsibility. The second thing, the need of repentance. Often people come back with questions like this when you tell them about repenting, repentance, coming to Christ, giving their life to Christ. If God is love, why didn't he just forgive us? I heard somebody saying that. God just could have just forgive us. And the answer would be because God is just. Logical question would then be, if God is just, he cannot forgive me until his justice is satisfied. And the answer for that would be correct. That's true. That's exactly what happened at the cross. Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and I. My sin have been passed unto him. All wrath, God holy hatred for evil that should have fallen on me fell on him. Someone had to pay for you and I. Jesus had paid the price. And today I'm forgiven because of what he done. And you are forgiven because of what he done. And you accepted that you came to Christ through repentance. And you felt sorry for what you've done. And you knew that the only way to get it right is to come through repentance to God. Are you ready? Or you still need repentance? You might be here and you say that, you know what, I'm all fine, I'm all good. But maybe you see repentance through different eyes, probably like disciples today. And you question yourself, have I made Jesus the king of my life? Does he govern over everything in my life? Is he everything in my life? He is the king. And he dominates over everything. And I submitted to that kingship. And maybe you could say, I have not devoted my life exactly like that to him. I still have some things that I hold dear to me. And I remember I had a conversation with somebody and they said, you know, when I came to Christ, when I was born again, everything I gave up on everything, I said no to everything. There was things in my life that today I look at and I said, man, they were not that bad. But the way I heard it that day when I was born again, when Christ had, through the Holy Spirit, searched my mind and my heart, I was able, and I wanted to give up everything. But with time, we keep adding on and said, oh, this is not a problem. This is not a problem. If anyone, Jesus said, wants to follow me, he should what? Deny himself. What else? Pick up his cross. What else? Follow me. What is left to you? Zero, nothing. Because everything that I am, if you want to follow Christ, everything that I am, I give it to him. And now I belong to this kingdom. This is what he wants to tell me this evening is. If you want to belong, if you want to be, if you want to accept me as your king, you're going to be part of this kingdom. Not just because you're spared from hell, spare from condemnation, is because you want to spend your whole life with me, where I'm king, and this is my kingdom. This is the way the disciples understood it. I want to be part of that kingdom. I want to be with him. And that's what we ought to think like when we think about repentance. There's nothing that Christ is going to ask me for that I'm not willing to give up. Because I want to spend all my life with him. Because he's everything to me. I am ready to step on my ego. I am ready to step on anything that rises higher than Christ. Than anything that's right. That's principles of this Bible. And I want to step on it. And I want to give it all to him. Because he is the one that deserves it. Because he's the one that died for me. Jesus spoke on hell more than anyone else. His first message in Matthew 5:22 was on hell. Why? because he knows more about it than anyone else. He's the only one that knows the terrifying truth about it. Because he is the only one that loves enough to mention the truth about it, to mention it enough, to proclaim it enough. Now, does that trigger something in your heart and in your mind to go out from here and preach the gospel to everyone that you can get in contact with to tell them that Christ, that Jesus, what he did, and that he's calling us to repentance, that he's calling us to come back to him because there's eternal life in him. The last thing that I want to mention, the power and the benefits of repentance. In 1 John 1:9, the word of God says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. God's word promises that if we confess. Now, is this word repent was only for those people then that didn't know about God? I mean, why does John come and tell us, if we confess our sins, if we are already sinless, we're not sinless. We make mistakes. We commit sin. We do wrong. But the word of God comes and it just tells us and encourages us, if we confess our sin, he is faithful to just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Praise God for that. I mean, that's a great news tonight, isn't it? He's the one that forgives us if we confess our sins. Praise God for that. God's word promises that if we confess, and confession is part of repentance, it declares and promises that we can be forgiven. It's the word of God, and I believe it with all my heart. The prodigal son, before and meeting his father, said this, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. A wonderful picture of repentance through confession. Sin separates us from God. True repentance and confession brings us back to him, reconciles us back with God. The seven churches in Revelation, as I was studying them, looking closely at each one in particular, the bottom line of each church and their spiritual condition, except Smyrna and Philadelphia, was not good. Was actually terrifying. We may find ourselves like one of the five churches that Jesus had nothing good to say about them. Do we find ourselves loveless church, loveless people, compromised church, compromised people, corrupt church, corrupt people, lukewarm church, lukewarm people? The wonderful news that each one was presented with was repent. To each one of us, God is telling us, I know your things. I know what you do. But the bottom line is you have left your first love. You have left the thing that you had done once. And the good news is repent. Remember you where you were once. Repent of your sin, return back to Jesus. Make him Lord. Make him King again. How would our life look if every single morning when I get up in the morning, you're gonna say these things in your mind and you're gonna say it out loud? Lord, I'm gonna make you the Lord of my life today. You are my King. I'm gonna make you the King of my life and everything that I do. I'll put you first. And everything that I do, it's going to glorify you because I live for you. I repent of who I am, my selfish desires, myself, everything that is in me is not good. Lord, I give it up because I want to live under you and under your kingship, and I submit everything to you. Now running away from the fear of hell, but to running to him because you want to spend eternity with him. Two different approaches. Not because God is going to condemn me, God is going to send me to hell if I don't do right. No, it's running to him because I want to be in his presence. Two different approaches. Repentance is not feeling bad that you got caught. Repentance is when your whole being, my complete will has surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Tonight, I invite you to stand because I want to go into prayer. And if there's anything in our life that's really on our heart, that's really maybe God has spoken to us tonight, maybe there's things that you still have to repent from. And maybe there's things that in your mind and your life, you say, it's not right with God. I have not made him the Lord of my life. I have not surrendered everything to him. There's things in my life that I'm doing, and they're not right. Once when I was born again, I was ready to give it all to him. I was ready to give up everything for him. But today there's things, I'm going back to those things. I'm getting pulled back in. And I don't feel good. I feel like my conscience is bothering me. And I feel that it's not right. I have not made him lately the Lord of my life. I have not surrendered everything to him. Maybe there is something that's bothering you. Maybe there's something that's putting a weight on you. Tonight there's a day where you can come to him and say, Lord, I repent. I probably left that first love that I once had for you. I used to spend time in prayer more than now. I used to be more in your word. I used to be more kind in my heart. Now I just pass by people and I don't say anything. I don't do anything. I don't feel condemned when I'm doing that thing anymore. Once I felt like something is bothering me in my conscience. Now I don't feel anything. I don't know what to do with my life. I feel so empty. I feel so drained. And I don't know what to do. Maybe it's time tonight to say, Lord, forgive me. And these are the things that I need to repent of and come clean. Because he's a God that is saying, if we confess our sin, recognize a lot of things in your life. And say, Lord, I need your forgiveness. Are you ready to bring it to God tonight? Are you ready to say, you're the Lord of my life? I put you before everything. I put you above everything in my life. Have we heard repentance the right way? Am I coming to God repenting because I have this fear of hell or being condemned or being away from God? Or I have this thing where I say, Lord, you're my king, you're my Lord, and I want to be part of you for the rest of my life, and I want to be in your presence. Let us pray. And let us ask God to forgive us if we have done anything that it's keeping us far from God. And let us come with a clean heart and ask for forgiveness and the Lord to restore us and bring that peace of salvation, bring that peace, the problem we used to have before, but we no longer have. Let us go into prayer and ask him to forgive us. Amen.